move along to the offenders portion of the case. Mr. Hall, I believe the first three cases here are requests for commission's reconsideration of prior license revocation decisions.
That's correct.
I believe the first one is Rocky Ray. Mr. Ray? Mr. Hull, you were sworn in this morning, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right, Mr. Ray, I need to swear you in here, so please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hull, bring us up to speed here on Mr. Ray and his request for reconsideration.
Mr. Ray submitted a letter to us, it's included in your packet, requesting reconsideration for financial distress. And he can address some of the reasons for that. As you can also see in your packet, the write-up for his last case was included. He was caught fishing after his licenses and privileges had been revoked, and they were revoked initially from January of 16 through July of 16 for a warm water violation, which was failing to keep his oysters iced.
So to refresh the commission's recollection here, you all decided to open the commission's agenda for reconsideration of revocation decisions that were made prior to, I believe it was July of this year. And this isn't an open-ended type of thing. We will reconsider every case, but it's just those that were under revocation as of July of 2017. So, Mr. Ray, I think I'd like to hear from you at this point here. What would you like, and why should we do that?
I'm having financial issues. I've filled out hundreds and hundreds of applications. I do have a pending charge due to the water on me for right now.
You mean the civil penalty?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The $750
right.
one.
Right.
I can't pay $3,500 to find a child support. I have no way of paying it. I mean, nobody will hire me. I'm just trying to get my life back on straight and trying to get all the fines and my fine paid up. I owe $4,000 to the court for all my bonds to get my license back. I'm just trying to get everything straight. And it's hard to do it without no job.
Well, let me ask you a leading question here. We are going to see this happen again. Are we going to see it back here after this?
Yes, sir. When I told you, I read the letter. If y'all do consider it, I'll take the time I've already served on my license this time. And you can go to probation.
This is their decisions. Let's see what they want to do. Any questions from the commission? Have any comments from the commission? Well, the commission operates on motions, so it requires the commission or somebody to make a motion in a second here. If there is not, they've decided not to take any action. So let me open the floor up here. Do I hear a motion? I see no motion, Mr. Ray.
Yeah.
I think the commission has decided not to take any action in this case. Mr. Hall.
The next matter is Carlton Duncan. I'm not sure that Mr. Duncan is in the audience.
Well, let me ask. Is Mr. Carlton Duncan in the audience? Carlton Duncan. Brian, would you yell into the hallway and ask if Carlton Duncan is out there? Well, Mr. Duncan had said that he was going to be here last month to ask the commission to discuss his case. He never showed up. I asked for him repeatedly, and at his request, this was put on the agenda, and he's not present. So I don't imagine it requires any sort of reconsideration from the commission, but let me go through the formal process. Is there a motion on Mr. Carlton Duncan's written request for reconsideration? Is there a motion? Is there a motion? I don't see a motion. No action is going to be taken in Mr. Carlton Duncan's case.
The final reconsideration is Mr. Timmy Lee Jenkins, senior.
Mr. Jenkins in the room. Mr. Jenkins, please come forward. Let me swear you in. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you God? Please state your name for the record. Mr. Jenkins, we have here your letter requesting reconsideration for your license revocation that was decided by the commission. Boy, that was 2015. Why would you like the commission to reconsider its decision?
It's been 20 months since I lost my license. I lost just about everything I had. The only thing I got left is what my friends helped me keep. I got a handicapped kid at home. I got two more. I got three kids. Get them back so I can pay my fines and stuff that I owe from 20 months ago. I paid my replenishment fee. I think I learned my lesson.
Same question I had for Mr. Ray here. If the commission reinstates your licenses, are we going to see you back here?
Yes, sir.
You're pretty sure of that?
Positive.
You can give him a promise?
Yep.
Any questions from the commission? Any comments from the commission? The commission operates on motions. Is there a motion from the commission? Mr. Hall?
If I may.
You cannot make a motion.
I can, but if I may make a note, just for the commission's edification, you probably recognize the fact pattern here because it was the same matter where Mr. Green lost his licenses as well, and there was another individual involved, Mr. West, and out of all three participants, Mr. Jenkins is the only person who now has no licenses still. Mr. West was only revoked for a year, so he got his back in, I guess it was January of this year, and Mr. Green obviously got some of his licenses back in July.
Yep, that was July. Mr. Green was the captain of the vessel here. Mr. Jenkins was a crewmate, as I recall.
Yes, sir.
Is there a motion from anyone on the commission?
Let me ask you this.
Mr. Packard.
You're asking specifically for all licenses to be renewed or only oyster license?
No, just anything, sir. Just so I can get back working. That's all I've ever done since I was 12 years old.
As I remember, the board's decision in the Michael Green case in July that Mr. Green's licenses were reinstated except for his oyster licenses. Is that correct, Mr. Hall?
That's correct.
And I think the thinking of the commission was that he needed to be continued to lose his oyster license because that's the fishery in which the violation occurred. I think Mr. Hall makes a valid point here that the captain of the vessel got his licenses reinstated, and that's really, except for his oyster licenses, and that's, I believe, what Mr. Jenkins is asking for at this point.
So how much longer does he have then? We gave him a 2-year revocation.
So it was up to January.
To January.
January the 22nd or 23rd.
26.
Okay. January 25th, 2018 will be his last day.
I'm sorry, I have a question.
Mr. France.
This violation was in the Hans Grape fishery?
It was, yeah.
Mr. Ballard.
I could just for discussion purposes, I could entertain licenses other than the oyster fishery, but there is a lengthy history of oyster violations that are all, in my mind, very of the very serious kind. Condemned areas, closed areas, and then this latest one was a natural resource issue of not having proper licenses. I wouldn't be comfortable with reinstating an oyster license, but I could be on board with fishing privileges other than the oyster fishery.
Any discussion on that? Any discussion on any of it? Mr. Zedrin?
You know, the way I'm reading this thing here, he was originally charged with a class 4 felony, which is very serious. He lost his rights as a citizen and right to vote, right to bear arms, various other things. I'm concerned that one of my real concerns on this commission is this fishing condemned areas. I mean, that's a serious offense. It could cause public health problems. It could ruin our industry. And you know, we're privileged to have the board here succeed in bringing the oyster industry to the top level it's ever been. And I think he was given a break because they reduced that class 4 felony to a class 1 misdemeanor. You know, and I think this is a very serious case, and I think he needs to do what we imposed. And you know, we don't take it lightly when we take somebody's license. I mean, that's a big deal for us. And I agree with the commissioner there. I mean, you got a lot of violations on the oyster thing, but I think I'll stick the way it is.
Commission operates on motion, so let's start with basics. Is there a motion? Is there a motion? Is there a motion? Mr. Jenkins, I see no motion. I think the will of the commission, and by the way, the chairman cannot make a motion. This is the will of the commission. Mr. Thomas Crosswell. Mr. Crosswell, please raise your right hand. I need to swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name for the record.
Thomas Paul Crosswell, Sr.
Welcome, sir.
I'll pull up the PowerPoint from this.
Thank you.
Jennifer Farmers.
Okay.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Officers, I need to swear you in as well, do I not? You are not here this morning, nor should you have been. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Thank you, gentlemen.
Can I state your name?
Gentlemen, please state your
name. Go ahead.
Officer Case Springfield.
Officer Fred Mitchell. Officer Brett.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone.
Chief.
This is Thomas P. Crosswell, Sr., new convictions, possession of uncold oysters, 8 courts. Marine Police Officer Casey Springfield, possession of uncold oysters, 19th of January 2017. The first offense, by the way, was the 14th of April 2017. The third summons was for uncold crabs, 45 per bushel. That was on June 17th, 2015, and that was Officer Mitchell.
Let's go chronologically here. Officer Mitchell, would you please come forward here and explain the circumstances around the June 17th, 2015 case here of uncalled crabs, 45 per bushel?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Would you step in front of the microphone? Thank you, sir.
All right. On this date listed, Officer Mitchell was on patrol in my assigned patrol vehicle in the town of Tappahannock. This officer had several complaints on Mr. Crosswell selling small crabs at the Riverwash Car Wash, which is located beside the Sheets in Tappahannock. On this date listed, I noticed a person cooking and appeared to be selling crabs at this location. I approached a male subject who appeared to be in charge of this operation, who identified himself as Paul Croswell. I was in my uniform and displayed my badge of authority. I asked to see a bushel of crabs at this point. I started to call this bushel. Excuse me. I called this bushel of crabs in my call stick, which was provided to me by this agency. After culling, I found 45 undersized crabs. Croswell watched me the entire time culling. I asked Mr. Croswell what the other crabs looked like, and he advised that the rest of his crabs would be the same. Croswell advised me that these his pots were in the Great Wicomico River in Northumberland County. I advised Croswell that he was being issued a summons, and these crabs would be to go back in the water. I followed Croswell to Hoskins Creek boat landing, which is approximately about 2 miles from this location. Croswell dumped his cargo overboard. Croswell signed a summons and was released. Croswell was found guilty on 8/13/2015 in his absence, and Croswell was cooperative the whole time.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Croswell. I think I want to take these cases one at a time here, give you a chance to here to respond to each case here. What happened in this particular instance with these crabs?
The officer's testimony is fairly correct. I've been selling crabs at Mr. Kim's car wash for years, and there had been several complaints in Tappahannock from the business next door because there was so many people coming there buying crabs. It was actually used in not only Mr. Kim's parking lot, but the Chief's parking lot next door. And it is true that my pots were in the Wicomico River. The particular crabs that day, I do not have the receipt. I bought them from Crabs Express. And we've crabbed in the Wicomico River. My pots are there today. And, I mean, I've been crabbing there for 25 years. I am a fifth-generation Reedville waterman. I am literally a son of a sailor. It is my livelihood. And I depend on selling crabs and oysters to support my family. And he is telling it right. It is pretty much exactly like what he said, other than that one fact. I bought the crabs from Tim at, which I've been, you know, I don't buy crabs all the time, but, I mean, we crab ourselves, and sometimes we don't have enough. So my son and I buy crabs together, and that's pretty much it.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard.
So did you think it was strange, though, that you were cooking on such small crabs? You've been being in this racket as long as you have?
They're not usually small like that. The ones on top were nice, and I guess as it got down in there, I have never in my life seen 45 small crabs in a bushel basket.
Well, that's kind of what brings me to my question.
Never.
I mean, if you hadn't seen it, why didn't you stop?
I did not realize they were in the basket. I did not know it. I mean, we throw small crabs overboard every single day. Generally speaking, if you can't look at a crab and tell he's 5 inches, generally speaking, he is not. We keep a culling stick right in the tub. My sons and I measure the crabs if there's any question. And the truth is, nobody wants a small crab. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, if you're buying them, if anybody's buying them, they don't want small crabs. I was the one with the crabs. There it is. I cooperated fully, threw them overboard, got more crabs the next day.
Mr. Cedron.
Did you tell the officers that you had bought them from this other place?
I did not.
Why not?
Well, we've been crabbing, and my son generally is the one who goes and picks the crabs up, my number two son, Michael. And sometimes we have our own crabs, and I guess as soon as I pulled up there, he was next door hiding in the parking lot. He just came on me over at one time. I didn't think about it. That was my mistake.
Did you ever report the fact that you had bought them from this other person to the police?
I did not. What I should have done was found the receipt and brought it today. It was $160 for 4 bushels. If I had the receipt right now, it would show that.
I'll note that the officer was responding to a number of complaints that there were undersized crabs being sold by you.
Yes.
For whatever that's worth for the commission's edification. Is there anything else you would like to add on this case, Mr. Croswell?
No. I had the Tappahannock Town license. I had been to, I can't remember the man's name now. There was some politics going on there that I do not understand in the town of Tappahannock, and I'm not sure what the problem was. I can't think of a man's name that's in charge of the whole town. He's at the city hall place. I had the license for the town of Tappahannock specifically. He seemed like a nice man to me. I don't really, there was some politics going on. I don't really know what the problem was. Anyway, I can't sell crabs there anymore at Mr. Kim's place. Mr. Kim went on the boat with us crabbing, and we are on television in Korea, crabbing. We are on television in Korea.
You're an international film star.
It is the honest-to-God truth. We are on television in Korea. He brought the television crew on our boat about a month ago.
I don't even know what to say to that. Congratulations.
I don't even know what to say to it either. Mr. Kim is a
Do you have an agent?
Sir?
Do you have an agent?
I do not. Mr. Kim is a wonderful person, and for whatever reason, he seems to like us. My sons and I.
Let's move on to the next case. Officer Brown? This was January 19th of 2017?
Yes, sir.
Please come forward. Thank you. What can you tell us about this?
On January 19th, 2017, I was on patrol in the Gloucester area, displaying my badge of authority, at the York River Yacht Haven there in Gloucester, patrolling the public oyster grounds for the York River that was opening that month. A vessel approached the dock that was occupied by Mr. Croswell standing here to my left. I asked to inspect a bushel of oysters, and I began calling them. Mr. Croswell advised me that he was in charge of culling the oysters, and I found a violation that was over the four-port tolerance. I had Mr. Croswell and his crew plant the oysters back on the public ground where they got the oysters from, and I have a picture for the commission of the
event. Thank you, sir.
A summons was issued that day, and he was released and found guilty in Gloucester Court, fined $100.
Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard?
In this instance, was Mr. Croswell easy to get along with?
He was. He was very easy to get along with.
And my follow-up question?
Mr. Tankard?
Did he seem surprised that he had undersized or uncalled oysters?
He did not, because the day previous, a fellow officer called Mr. Croswell's catch, and it was very close to the four-quart measure. So I told that officer if she didn't mind to see a different officer the next day, I would take a look, and the violation was discovered.
So let me ask about quantity. You found a bit more than 4 quarts, which was the tolerance. Okay.
That was a rounded over 4 quart. I would say closer to 5-6 quarts of
oysters. Okay. Questions from the commission? Mr. Croswell, let me ask, what happened here?
His testimony is correct. Jamie Hogg, Officer Hogg, had called our oysters the day before. I was not in charge. I was on the boat with Keith Jett, my same number two son, and I, Michael, and I were the crew. We were on Keith Jett's boat. The violation was discovered, and his testimony is correct.
Yep. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Zedrin.
I was looking at, in our records here, it shows in 2001 you got a possession of uncalled crabs, and then in 2002 you got a possession of uncalled male crabs. In January of 15, you got uncalled oysters, and then you got these uncalled things. Why did we see this pattern?
I'm almost positive, sir. Anybody who has been crabbing for 25 years, 15 years ago, has a ticket. And it is a pattern. And I had no idea that you could have a ticket 15 years ago and still get in trouble with it. And from 2001 till today, that is 16 years ago, correct?
Well, I mean, you obviously learned something when you got the tickets about culling, right?
Yes, sir.
And so why are we seeing these things in January of 2017? I mean, you said you were in charge of culling, right?
Yes, sir. That is true.
And you know why you cull, right?
Yes, sir.
And you know how to measure the
yes, sir.
So I'm asking you, then why in January of 2017 do we have another one of these unculled oyster things?
Well, it was a lot of oysters that were right on the limit, and you have to measure every single one. And the day before, like he said, it was close. And the next day, it was slightly over the limit.
But didn't he say it was like 5 or 6 quarts?
He showed you the picture. I think he said it was...
It was just over the 4-quart limit.
Yeah, just over the 4-quart.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Officer Springfield is up next. And this offense was April 14th of this year. Is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
Thank you, sir.
On April 14th of 2017 at 10:45 in the morning, I had occasion to be helping the Coast Guard with some commercial boardings in the James River during the James River oyster season. As they boarded a boat that had Mr. Croswell and 4 other individuals on it, they were actively hand-tonging at the time. In assisting with the boarding, I looked down at the boat and noticed that there was a problem with the size and the amount of dead oysters that were in the boat. When they got done with their boarding, I told Mr. Croswell, who's to my left here, that I was going to cull him. In doing a certified bushel culling to him with my issued cull stick, I found 8 quarts of dead undersized oysters or shells. I did issue him, along with the other people on board, a summons for possession of unculled oysters, 8 quarts. It was set for Newport News General District Court on June the 9th, 2017. Mr. Croswell pled not guilty. He was found guilty and given a $50 fine with $101 court cost, which has been paid at this time. He was cooperative that day.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, officer. Appreciate it. Mr. Croswell, again, what happened here on this one?
The officer's testimony is correct. When he came on the boat, well, the Coast Guard came on the boat first. I never had the BMRC and the Coast Guard both side by side come on the boat at the same time, but it's the first time for everything. In 25 years, I have never seen that. Anyway, the Coast Guard checked all their safety equipment, and most of it was new, to their surprise. So, we went through that, and then he looked right down beside the culling board, and where the tongs were coming across the edge of the boat, some, as he said, dead oysters had spilled down between the culling board and right where we come over the washboard of the boat at, and he put his shovel right, which you can do. He put his shovel right down by the edge of the pile, and there was enough dead oysters in it, shells, to make it over the limit. And I asked him, after we had thrown the oysters overboard, do we generally have a chance to buy the oysters back? I didn't even think about that. We could have just bought them back. And we also had the permit for seating. Now, we were not seating. I'm not trying to say we were. Everybody on the boat got a ticket. And when we got to court, I went to explain to the judge what happened. Everybody else pled guilty, and the judge dismissed all the charges. But I was the one with the license, and I went to explain to the judge what happened, which I did. And I was found guilty, and by me being found guilty, I wound up here today. I'm depending on oystermen for my livelihood, and the officer's testimony is correct.
The question is from the commission. Mr. Tankard.
So let me make sure I understand. So the vessel you were on, this was your boat?
No, sir. No. Neither one of these boats was my boat.
Neither one.
It was my number 2 son's boat. And my number 3 son together, I had 4 sons, Thomas Paul, Michael James, Matthew Lee, and Joshua Douglas. This is Michael James and Matthew Lee's boat. They were in charge of culling the oysters. I'm the one with the license. I was doing the tonguing. And we all got tickets. And the judge dismissed everybody else's except for mine. All I had to do was plead guilty and just keep quiet. And I wouldn't even be here today. I went to explain to the judge what happened, which I did. And the judge explained to me that I was guilty.
Mr. Crosswell, I probably didn't hear that correctly.
Okay.
You're saying that the other folks that were on the boat here pleaded guilty but were...
Pleaded not guilty. I'm sorry. They pleaded... Okay. I'm a little nervous.
It's okay.
They pleaded guilty, and all the charges were dismissed.
So that's what I thought I heard you say. So they pleaded guilty and the judge dismissed the charges.
Correct.
That's what you're saying.
Everybody.
Okay.
Except for me, which I pleaded not guilty because I wanted to talk to the judge, just like I'm talking to you. You seem like a reasonable man, so did she.
Others would disagree.
Okay. I've never been here before.
Okay.
That's the way you strike me.
Are there questions from the commission? Okay, Mr. Crosswell, I'll get back to you in just a minute here. Chief O'Reilly, what do the matrix guidelines call for or suggest with this pattern and these three convictions?
So, in highlighted in red and recently revamped, but these are the guidelines, possession of at least 50% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish, and also there are other charges to consider, which is the crab. So. The Commission's matrix of guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of possession of at least 50% over the tolerance of undersized shellfish and one conviction of possession of more than 20 undersized crabs per bushel within a two-year period should result in at least a six-month revocation of all shellfish licenses. In accordance with Section 282.232 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest the Commission revoke all of Mr. Croswell's shellfish licenses for a period of 6 months from the date of this commission meeting, September 26, 2017, through March 25, 2018. The Code of Virginia also allows that the commission prohibit the issuance, reissuance, and renewal of any of Mr. Croswell's shellfish licenses during this revocation period.
Mr. Croswell. It's okay. We're nervous too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the suggestion is that for these offenses in combination, showing a degree of a pattern here, is that your licenses, your shellfish licenses, should be revoked for 6 months.
Yes, sir.
I would like to hear from you at this point here what you think about that and what you think about the odds of you coming back here someday for another violation.
In my entire 56-year life, I have never been here. I think the odds of me coming back are close to zero. All I had to do was keep my mouth shut in court and just plead guilty like my kids, and I wouldn't be here today. I did not realize by telling the judge my side of the story, I was going to get my license in jeopardy. I'm depending on my license to support my family. I have four sons. I just mentioned that. Three of them live with me. As I mentioned earlier, I am literally a fifth-generation waterman, going all the way back to Captain Thomas Croswell, who died at the wheel of the Elizabeth Ann when he made the dock in Norfolk, and Captain Hiram Croswell, who died at the wheel of the Elizabeth Ann when he made the dock in Baltimore. Needless to say, the family sold the schooner. There was a business on the Waukamaka River called Cross.
You've used that line before, haven't you?
Never.
Okay. Well, that was very clever.
There was a brick business where Lee and Lumber Company is today, and that's why Lee and Lumber Company Road is called Brickyard Road. It was called Croswell and Hinton. They made the bricks right there at the property where Lee and Lumber Company is now, and they... used the schooner to haul the bricks to Baltimore. Most of the commerce from Reedville went to Baltimore, and that is...
So the question at hand here, I think, is not so much your convictions in court here, but the underlying actions that led to your convictions in court.
Yes, sir.
So whatever happened in court here, yes, but I think that the board here is more concerned about what you did to get you to court.
Yes, sir.
So... why should we not look at these as a pattern of unconcern on your part for throwing back the small critters?
Okay. I did not call the oysters on when
Mr. Springfield
came on the boat. My kids were doing it, and one of my kids' girlfriends. And I kept telling them to measure them, and, you know, they weren't really listening to me. And like I said, it was right where the oysters come on the side of the boat. There were some shells in the floor of the boat. And I generally am not a lawbreaker. I think probably if anybody from my area was here, they would tell you that.
Let me ask if the commission has some questions.
I have one question, really, and that's for staff with regard to the matrix. You know, his first offense that we heard about today was a crab offense, but we ended up dedicating our revocation to the oyster industry. Why do we do that? Remind me how that works.
Well, these were recently revised, if you remember, based on the General Assembly's decisions that started here with July 1. And so you are looking at probably of the two the most substantial violation of a resource. So I think that's why, you know, even before the guidelines were changed, the commission looked at situations where there were different fisheries involved, and at that time, the guidelines would suggest to go with the most important offense as far as the violation.
So it's a hierarchy of values to some degree.
There's still the commission process to weigh that. So, mm-hmm. for example, since they are guidelines, the commission is still going to have cases where it's going to have to decide whether the guidelines are sufficient, whether they're undersufficient, or whether they're perhaps too strict. I mean, that still exists.
Mr. Zetron.
Follow up on that. The way I'm reading your recommendation, the recommendation is to revoke his shellfish licenses. So that includes crabs and oysters, right?
Well, in the Code of Virginia, blue crab is shellfish. But for all practical purposes, it's not. It's a crustacean. So I think the situation here is strictly on the oyster. I did not participate in the the winnowing down of these cases. So perhaps someone else from staff who was in that meeting can tell us if there was anything said about including crabs as shellfish. But generally, we do not. They are separate.
And the matrix guidelines are indeed just guidelines to kind of orient the commission more than anything else. I'll throw my two cents in here for discussion purposes for what it's worth here. I think Mr. Croswell's offenses were significant but not fatal. I think that I'm more concerned about a pattern of unconcern towards undersized crabs and oysters. But I find him to be refreshingly direct and honest about it, and that is something that we don't often hear from people that are standing behind that microphone. So that means something to me. We often, you know, we get the song and dance. We get including my dog was to blame for this kind of business. But to hear Mr. Croswell say, well, the officer got that right, and the officer got that right, and the officer got that right, and that says something to me for whatever that's worth. You all are making the decisions here, but that's my two cents here. Mr. Miner's hand was up first. Mr. Miner.
And I second what you're saying. As this is his first time in here, I would like to make a motion that we go for 2-year probation instead of a 6-month revocation.
That's a motion by Mr. Miner. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. France here. I think we need some more discussion on this, and I think Mr. Neal has got some things in mind.
Yeah. First of all, thank you. Officers, I mean, that's you've got a hard job, and it's really important. I'm not sure we state that enough. They're very well done. I'm not, he keeps making this contention. If he didn't get this final conviction, he wouldn't be here. He had 3 different convictions, and I think we can bring him before us for 1. And so I don't know if that's a statement. I am concerned that he doesn't seem to be able to use a ruler. And it is a pattern. We're up to 6 now, right? 6 not being able to measure convictions.
And so I guess I had a question, and it was in the probationary type of thing. If we put him on a long probation and he just has one more violation, would that automatically bring him to work before us?
Yes, it would.
Yep. All right. So, you know, that would be more my inclination would be to put him on a long probation and just let him know that if he does, if he forgets to measure, he'll be right here before us. And, you know, I was thinking more of a long probation. But, you know, I won't vote against your motion. But that's where I was thinking. More probation, but I...
Further discussion. Mr. Zedron.
One thing I think we need to bring out in reference to his testimony was his son and his girlfriend were on the boat, and they were calling, and they wouldn't listen to him. That concerns me because he's the captain of the ship, and it's telling me that he's seeing that these two people are not calling like they're supposed to, but he didn't do anything about it. And I think that, and we're talking about probation and all that kind of stuff, is that if he's the captain of the boat, he needs to understand that regardless of what his crew want to do, is that it is his responsibility to make sure they obey the law. And so if he gets caught again because his son or girlfriend or friend is improperly calling the shellfish, that he's going to be responsible and we're going to take his license.
For the record, I don't believe Mr. Croswell was actually the captain in any of these circumstances here. I didn't want the record to get kind of conflated there.
Well, I was
there were violations in his responsibility, I think, is clear.
Well, what caught my attention was he said he he told them what to do and they weren't paying attention or wasn't following his instructions is what kind of I focused on.
Further discussion. Well, we have a motion on the table by Mr. Miner, and it was a second by Mr. France here, as to 2 years of probation in this particular case. I'll have one bit of discussion on this. I will vote for this, but I'm leery about it, Mr. Croswell, and I'll tell you why. And that is that this pattern we see that dates back 15 years, and it seems like every couple of years is the same type of thing, and those are the issues that you keep getting caught on. I would have been willing to go with a 3-month revocation of your shellfish licenses and continue to allow you to crab through the fall until the season closed. I thought that would be a more fitting way to make sure that this message is loud and clear. But I think that I'll support this motion for 2 years of probation, but there's a really big but there, and I mean this from my heart. I do not want to see you back here, and it will not be in your best interest if we see you back here. This is a break. This is probably your last break. If we see you like this again here, it isn't going to come out this well for you. So, kind of a word of warning.
Thank you.
Mr. Ballard.
Question for staff. Is our longest probation still 5 years, or did that get revised?
Nope. 5 years is maximum probationary period, yes.
I'd feel more comfortable with a longer probation period on that note, that this is a long-term pattern that's occurred over 15, 16 years. To do a 2-year probation seems out of balance with that to me. If we're going probation, I'd feel more comfortable with a 5-year probation.
You want to talk about that concept?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
So put it in substitute motion.
You make a substitute motion, I'll second it.
Yeah. Oh,
Mr. Tankard?
Yeah, I'll move for a substitute motion as a go with a 5-year probationary period.
A substitute motion by Mr. Tanker for a 5-year probationary period. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard because he was a bit louder.
Okay.
Discussion on that motion. That motion has precedence. It is the motion that is now on the table and is for a 5-year probationary period for Mr. Croswell. Any discussion on that? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well, and the motion passes unanimously. And Ms. Croswell, you get to keep all your licenses. You're on a 5-year probationary period. As I said, if we see you back here for a violation while you're on probation here, you're not likely to like the results. So let's dot the I's, let's cross the T's, let's make sure everything is right, err on the side of caution, because I think you're a good guy. I don't want to see you back here. If you go with the chief of the Marine Police here, he will take you downstairs. He'll give you a letter that spells out your appeal rights. So if you want to appeal the commission's decision to court, you have that right. Good luck, Mr. Croswell.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
And thank you for being very honest with us. I appreciate that. That's why you still have your licenses, I think. Mr. Jackie L. Hall, Jr. Is Jackie Hall in the room? Could someone yell in the hallway here to find out if Jackie Hall is in the hallway?
Jackie Hall.
Let the record reflect that Jackie Hall Jr. is not present, although he was summoned to be here. It's the commission's decision whether or not to proceed with the case in his absence.
Yeah,
we're nodding.
Yes.
You're getting head nods.
I'm getting head nods here. I think I have a consensus here. Bobblehead doll night at the commission. We will proceed with Mr. Jackie Hall's case in his absence.
Jackie L. Hall, Jr., new convictions, harvest of oysters out of season, theft of oysters, and possess oysters for commercial purposes without a commercial fisherman's license, all occurred on the same date, March 27th, 2017, and all were adjudicated by the court on July 20th of 2017. Officer Ovid, I hope I'm saying that correctly, or Ovid?
Which one?
Ovid, I did it right the first time, okay. No former licenses or permits.
Officer, you please give us the rundown? If you step up in front of the microphone, please, that would be helpful. Let me swear you in. Do you hereby swear the testimony you give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help you, God? Please state your name into the microphone.
Officer Stephen Taylor Ovidi. On March 27, 2017, approximately 1540 hours, I received an anonymous tip that individuals were trying to sell oysters out of a green van. I did locate that van on Route 17 with 7.5 bushels visible through the black glass, back glass of the van. I conducted a traffic stop on that vehicle in the area Route 17 northbound. Upon speaking with the individuals in the van, ownership, or I guess who took responsibility for the oysters, was Mr. Jackie Hall Jr., who's not here today. I haven't seen him at all today. He lives in the area where the oysters were taken. He then went around and attempted to sell them. He made several statements. He was initially charged with felony theft of oysters. It was in the other charges that were on the screen earlier. He ended up taking a plea deal. He has no commercial fishing interests. He does not assist anyone with crabbing or anything like that. He's aware of the commercial business, but he knew he was in the wrong. He had done that in the past, but it's past that point in his life where he assists with commercial interests, others with commercial interests and whatnot. Questions?
Are there questions from the commission? Thank you, officer. Appreciate it a lot.
Sorry, I have a question.
Nice work. Mr. France.
Yeah. So he admitted he had done this in the past?
He did not admit he had done this in the past. He admitted that the bushels were his, that he had taken them, took sole responsibility, although there was one other individual in the van that had mud consistent with walking around and picking up oysters. The area in which he does live is a condemned area, but he indicated that he took those from the York River, which is outside of the creek, but he would have walked past a large number of condemned oysters in Timbernet Creek. Plentiful oysters in there, but it is a condemned area. But I did not charge him with that because his admission was that he took them from the York River.
I understand.
And he does live on a houseboat at the Timmernick State Dock, or did until it sank.
Oh. Any other questions? Thank you. Chief, what do the matrix guidelines call for in this particular case?
The harvesting of oysters or clams during a closed public season is a resource impact, and it's first time around the three-year probation, and you can see the rest of that as you follow through if you make similar violations. So in this case, the commission's guidelines for sanctions for Mr. Hall specify that one conviction of harvesting oysters or clams during a closed public season within a two-year period should result in a three-year probation. In accordance with Section 282.232 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to place Mr. Hall on probation for a period of 3 years from the date of this commission meeting, September 26, 2017, through September 25, 2020. Any failure on Mr. Hall's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the three-year probation would result in Mr. Hall appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Frantz.
Yeah, what makes this even more serious to me is it says here he had intent to sell. And we're not exactly sure where these oysters come from. He didn't admit. Could have come off polluted. No tags. You know, I would make a motion for him to lose his all his fishing privileges for 3 years rather than probation.
Well,
I'll second that.
Thank you, Mr. Frantz. It's a motion by Mr. Frantz, and it's a second by Mr. Zetron here. Ms. Black, I believe that there is a legal issue with this.
Yeah. So the new amendments to the statute say that the commission cannot revoke any license other than the license for the fishery in which the violation occurred. Certainly that says license and not privileges, but I think the safest reading of that and reading into the intent of that is for a first offense, they're not wanting us to revoke the privileges either. They're not giving us that authority. So I'm not completely comfortable with revoking fishing privileges on a first offense. When we get to the second offense in 5 years, it opens up. We can revoke anything we want. But technically, this is a first offense.
And there's no civil penalty on a first offense either.
There's no civil penalty unless it's fishing while under a license revocation. Mm-hmm. You have the authority to revoke this gentleman's gear licenses in the which the fishery occurred. That would be the oyster licenses, but he has no oyster licenses. And apparently he's never had any oyster licenses, and he doesn't have a commercial waterman's card, so you really don't have anything to revoke.
I think you could impose a prohibition. I think revocation encompasses the prohibition on applying or receiving. But again, it would have to be just for the fishery in which the violation occurred.
Mr. Miner has his hand up.
Maybe we'll put a substitute motion and just approve staff recommendation.
It's also a thought. Mr. Neal?
I have a more of a legal question. Again, we've got someone with no licenses. We've had this kind of thing before. But there's obviously someone we do not want to be doing this. So my question is, can we revoke his, shellfish license, which would be for 5 years, and put him on probation for all the other fisheries for 5 years?
I would say I wouldn't touch anything about other fisheries. Again, the statute doesn't talk about anything other than revocations.
Okay, but if we put him on probation for 5 years, that includes everything.
That's true.
That is true.
Well, Chief O'Reilly, I can revoke his license.
I'm just wondering not to get it further down the road a little bit, but is probation any different from revocation since you're bringing cases under 282-232? Can you even have a probation? I guess that's my question after listening to that. Is that perfectly okay?
Yeah, I think it is, because you're not taking away anything. You're basically just saying if you get in trouble again, and that's just echoing the language of the statute, quite frankly, where it says if you get in trouble again, you're in trouble. you're really in trouble. So I take that back. You can put him on probation for other things. The issue with, quote unquote, revoking his license, for his shellfish license, is just that he doesn't have one. But I think you could probably put him on, you could prohibit him from getting one, a shellfish license.
Mr. Ballard.
Forgetting the technicalities for a minute. Given the kind of close proximity to the condemned area here and not having him in front of us to assure us that these oysters were in fact clean, I'm not comfortable with him being able to get his license back unless we heard something differently. I would move for a 2-year revocation of his shellfish licenses. Well, wouldn't a revocation encompass a prohibition of issuing a new license? Yeah. So if I need to rephrase that, I can. But.
No, I. That sounds like a valid motion to me here. It's a motion to revoke, in effect, to prohibit the issuance of any shellfish licenses for this gentleman for 2 years. And do that, and you could add probation on top of that. You can go up to 5 years. I mean, it depends on how serious you consider this offense to have been. Chief O'Reilly, can you help here?
Well, that's a two-part situation in the code, the way I remember it. So, and if you notice the way we read that, after the revocation, at one point, then we started to introduce the reissuance or issuance as a second part of that. So, I mean, I just wonder, I'm not trying to be a lawyer today, but I wonder if they are separate.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the weirdness with this way the statute is worded. It says you can only revoke the license for the fishery in which the violation occurred. It's very, that's why the guidelines were created as they were, is to make sure that we were completely within the statute, because it's very ambiguous as to what is a fishery. So can you revoke the shellfish license, or can you just revoke the oyster license, or can you just revoke, for instance, the specific gear license that he was using? The issue here is he doesn't have any. We don't even know how these were obtained or what gear was used. So I don't know that we can get to the level of specificity that it could be argued the statute requires in order to revoke.
Let me throw another monkey wrench into this, and that is his testimony to the officer on that day. Mr. Hall had said he had picked them up by hand from the York River. There was no gear there. We cannot prohibit him from using his hands for 5 years. I'd be facetious here, because I find this to be a frustrating position here the commission is in. But there is one good thing about all this here, and that is thank God for the Marine Police. So, Officer Vita, you did an excellent job here. Lord knows where those 7.5 bushel oysters actually came from. Lord knows where they're actually going to end up. I'm very grateful and glad you were there to intercede in this. So, which brings us back to, how about a legal ruling from counsel here? Can we revoke a license that, in this particular case, or prohibit the issuance of a license?
So, I think probation of some duration is the safest bet here. just because we have one violation, the statute's very ambiguous, he doesn't have a license that we can say, okay, this specific license is what can be revoked. And as the commissioner pointed out, our evidence before us is that he didn't use a gear. I think we need to stick with probation, if not the guidelines.
Mr. Ballard.
I might be creating a mess out of this, and I certainly don't understand that book nearly as well as my colleagues to the right, but just as a human being, I'm uncomfortable with having this guy be able to go get a shellfish license unapproved without showing up here after this array of incidents here. I move for a 2-year revocation of his shellfish license. And if, you know, we get that overturned, we get that overturned. But at the end of the day, I'm concerned about the human health.
You're making your lawyer very uncomfortable right now.
Commissioner?
Mr. Neal?
Yeah, I guess my thing is we cannot have unlicensed watermen just going around picking up oysters from who knows where and selling them. That's kind of like the worst thing that can be done that's under our jurisdiction. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. And so we seem to be a little hamstrung here, but we need to be able to do whatever we can do to prevent this from happening and discouraging anyone else from doing it. Now, as far as I'm concerned, this guy actually spent some time in jail from this, which is great. I mean, that's a good thing. But you know, being up here saying that we have no power to do anything to prevent probably the most worst thing that can happen in our jurisdiction is kind of irritating to me, for one. And all this talk about 1 year and 2 years, you know, my maximum is 5 years, and this is if there's anything that gets a maximum for me, this is it. And if it's probation for 5 years, well, so be it. If I could revoke his non-existent license for 5 years, I would do that too. But I would want everybody to know that it is not okay to be walking around the shores of the creeks and the rivers and grabbing oysters and going to sell them. That's for a licensed commercial waterman to do under our regulations, period. And so we got one conviction here, but he broke a whole slew of regulations. I mean, he just all kind of violations here.
Mr. Seifert.
I think I got sort of an analogy I'd have counsel comment on. In court, when an out-of-state person gets a traffic ticket whereby we revoke his license, say somebody from Maryland comes to Virginia, I can't revoke his, as a judge, I can't revoke his Maryland license, but I can revoke his privilege to drive in the Commonwealth. And so my question is, can we revoke his privilege to obtain a shellfish license in Virginia for a period of time?
So the revocation of the license and the prohibition to receive a license are pretty intrinsically tied together in the language of the statute. So when we have statutory language that says you can only revoke for the fishery, whatever that means, where the violation occurred for first offense, to me that includes the prohibition to receive a license. That's my interpretation of what they're saying, and I think that's the safest interpretation.
So you would be okay with a revocation for 2 years for the particular fishery he's in?
Well, that's where we get into what they mean by the fishery. Do they mean shellfish? Do they mean oyster? Do they mean the gear? As I'm sure you all know, there's, for shellfish licenses, there's a whole bunch of different licenses you can get for that. And again, that's why the guidance was set up as it was. I completely understand the frustration. But if we don't want to get overturned in court, which I'm personally a great fan of not losing in court, I think we don't even touch the revocation until we get the second violation in the 5 years.
Let me ask her a question here.
Follow-up question, Mr. Zedner.
Well, isn't it true, though, that he only has a certain amount of days to appeal her decision? Isn't that true?
Yes.
And so if we impose a revocation and he does not appeal, what is it, 30 days, 60 days?
30 days to file the notice and then 30 days to file after that to file a petition.
Okay, and so if we pass this and he doesn't file, then it stands, right?
Yes.
And you won't have to go to court.
True.
All right, that's all.
I will just note that, you know, generally it's my duty to advise you on what I believe is the legal thing to do, so...
Mr. Ballard.
I appreciate that. In an effort to make my motion more palatable, I'll revise my motion to a 2-year revocation for his oyster license, not shellfish. To me, it is very clear he was engaged in the oyster fishery as he had oysters in his possession, so that part is clear.
Mr. France.
Yeah, my question would be,
I'll ask for a second.
He doesn't possess a commercial card or license. Do we have it? Do we really expect him to get one? Which I would probably say no. So I would think a 5-year probation on his fishing privileges would put more pressure on him than him having to worry about getting an oyster license.
Oh, can I translate that in my head so I think I understand what you mean? So translating it would mean 5 years of probation means any natural resource violation triggers him coming back here for 5 years of anything else. Whereas Mr. Ballard's thought here of a 2-year prohibition on issuing him any oyster licenses really doesn't have any impact outside of oyster licenses. That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But I translated that correctly. Mr. Ballard.
A question for counsel. Is the 5-year probation more palatable to you?
Yes. Up to 5 years. Probation, I think we are completely safe with giving him 5 years of probation.
Excuse me. We have Mr. Ballard's motion for the 2-year revocation and prohibition on the issuance of shellfish oyster licenses. But there was not a second, and I didn't ask for a second. Mr. Ballard, do you want to continue with that?
I'll withdraw that motion.
Motion's withdraw. As I don't believe we have any other motions on the table here. So,
hold on a second.
Yeah.
Mr. Tankard.
I'm having a hard time understanding. I thought, and if I'm reading, you're going to help me find where it says that we are not able to revoke a license in the fishery in which they've committed the...
So, in the book, that's not the up-to-date new statute.
Okay.
We have new statutory amendments effective July 1. States at the end, so 28.2.232A, the last two sentences, they were added. The commission shall not revoke any license other than the license for the fishery in which the violation occurred. The commission may revoke licenses other than the applicable license upon a second or subsequent violation within 5 years. Now again, that second sentence I just read, where it talks about the applicable license, and you can revoke licenses other than the applicable license, especially when there's no license specifically to revoke, I don't know where we get to that. I don't know how we get to the authority to revoke any license he could possibly apply for. Quite frankly, even in the oyster fishery, because my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's multiple licenses you can get even in the oyster fishery. So if we have the applicable license, that indicates to me that they're talking about the license that the violation occurred under, or that the violation was relating to. Here we don't even have that guidance as to, okay, he had this license, he violated this. Honestly, I don't even know if he had a license what this violation would be. So that's why I'm uncomfortable with the revocation discussion. I'm much more comfortable with the probation.
All right.
Mr. Neal.
We put him on probation.
Mm-hmm.
The officer catches him next week with oysters in the in his minivan. And then he comes back here, and then we have the same discussion again.
Nope. You are free to revoke anything on a second or subsequent violation within 5 years.
Okay.
Completely opens up.
Even though he still has nothing.
We're
revoking non-existent licenses.
So as I said before, I think revocation and prohibition for issuance are tied together. So you can prohibit him from getting licenses.
With the second offense.
So you with the second offense, you're comfortable with that?
The second offense.
We had at least three convictions we could have gotten out of this.
Mr. France.
Yeah, even though it pains me that we can't do more legally than what we can, I would make a motion for 5-year probation.
Second.
Motion by Mr. France, second by Mr. Minor for 5-year probation case duration in this particular case for Mr. Jackie L. Hull, Jr. I think this has been fairly thoroughly discussed, and a number of us have vented some frustrations over the state of the code. Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. Mr. Jackie Hall is on 5 years of probation.
I think it was a good discussion.
I think it was a bit of a frustrating discussion, yes, but at least it was a civil discussion, and I thank you all for
that. And educational.
I want to take an opportunity to say that I didn't see the fine print before, but the issue about what is shellfish, when these were revamped for your last meeting, Table 1 in your guidelines indicates shellfish includes oysters, clams, channeled whelk, and conch. Now, conch is a colloquialism for whelk, but nonetheless, as you can see, crabs are held separate. So I want to bring that to your attention.
Mr. Jose Soto, please come forward, sir. Officer West, I'm going to swear you both in here. Please raise your right hand. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Please state your name for the record.
Jose Soto.
Welcome, Mr. Soto. Patrick West is well known to the commission. Okay. Chief O'Reilly?
Yes, sir.
So there's some new convictions, commercially fishing without a permit, and that's the striped bass regulation 252. And the date of offense was April 14th. Also at that time, possession of untagged striped bass, 25 untagged striped bass, same date, April 14th. And also on April 14th, possession of understriped striped bass. Officer West.
Officer West, what can you tell us about this?
So good afternoon. The offense occurred on the Rappahannock River on April 14th, 2017, approximately 9:20 in the morning. We were on patrol conducting commercial inspections when we came across the vessel Marion Rose. I had gillnet equipment on board, and it looks like they had finished for the day and were turning to Robinson Creek. Once I boarded the vessel, I saw five baskets that had fish in them. I could see one of the baskets had a striped bass on top. I immediately began to call the basket and could see one of the baskets. There were actually 25 undersized striped bass in the basket. Asked Mr. Soto if he had a striped bass permit. He said no. Asked him why they weren't tagged. Of course, without the permit, you can't have the tags. He said he didn't know he needed one. He was working as an agent for Mr. Rufus, who's a well-known gentleman in our area, and we've known Mr. Soto for a while. Asked him to see the gillnet tags, which allows him to work for an agent. He did not have them. I contacted operations, got Mr. Rufus's information. He did have gillnets, and you know, Mr. Stoddard, he had left them on the dock that day when he took the boat. Made our way into Robinson Creek, escorted them. Another officer helped me measure the fish, took photographs, and once we got there, I issued Mr. Soto three summonses. The first one was for possession of untagged striped bass. Which all these were tried in Middlesex County. Mr. Soto was fined $100. Court cost at $121. possession of undersized striped bass, which is the 25, was $300 and a court cost of 25. And the commercially fished without a striped bass permit was $300 with a $25 court cost. Here's a...
Thank you.
Mr. Soto was polite. He was cooperative. He actually made it back to the creek and talked to Mr. Rufus, and he explained what had happened. So, very cooperative.
Are there questions from the commission? Mr. Frantz.
Yes, officer.
Yes, sir.
Was Mr. Soto the only one on the boat?
No, there were three other crew members on the boat, I believe, that day. Mr. Soto, we identified him as the captain.
Identified him as the captain. And he was working as an agent?
Yes, he was working Mr. Rufus's gill nets, and he was supposed to have the card with you to work the nets, and he didn't have them that day, but we verified that he had all the correct information.
Thank you.
So there's the tag issue. There were no tags for these striped bass on board. Did anyone have tags for these striped bass?
No, sir. I believe Mr. Rufus, and he could probably say he did buy some shortly after this. He was in the process of getting some, but he did not have any striped bass tags on board.
So they were undersized and they were illegal?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions, Mr. Zedron?
And these would have come from the gill net?
Yes, sir.
So when you pull in the gill net and say the fish are dead, what do you do with them? I mean, do you take them on board business, or do you throw them over?
If they're illegal, you return them to the water. It's kind of a cruel way, you know, once they get – that's why the mesh sizes are so important, you know, during different times of the year.
Mr. Ballard.
Can you educate me? Striped bass, you get a permit to commercially fish for them, and then you have to get the tags in addition to the permit?
Yeah, you're issue tags, and I guess if you – those, you fill those quotas, you can buy other tags and transfer tags for tour and so on.
Okay. I can help edify a bit on this here. Striped bass in the bay are pretty strictly managed from the higher up at the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. We have a commercial quota, and for the benefit of our commercial fishermen, we split these up, divide this pie up into individual transferable quotas. They all get a set number of tags that's based on historical landings, and that is their catch limit, although they can trade them with each other. Did I miss something of importance there, Chief?
I agree.
He doesn't have to say that. That help? Any other questions, Mr. Tankard?
So thus, when you're fishing and not tagging, you can use those tags a little later. You can just, you're kind of double dipping in a way. You're increasing your limit, essentially.
If you have striped bass tags and you don't have them aboard and you don't use them for the fish you land, that would be the case. But if you don't have any striped bass tags allocated to you, they're just illegal fish.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Soto, I'd like to hear from you. What happened here, sir?
Well, my English is, I am trying to speak in English. My English is poor.
Okay.
Usually my boss is who fishing, running the boat, but this day I undo it. And we had a net for the bunker, for the bait. And we keep in the fish, the striped bass, because I am thinking it's a good size. We can keep him, but I don't know nothing about the size and the fish. And I need to put tags too and the fish.
That's correct. There's a size limit. Yeah. They have to be a certain size.
Well, they have nice size, but I don't have idea. They have like 18 inches.
Correct. Specific theory. Yes. That's a minimum. Minimum size. That's the smallest. And you have to be authorized, permitted. You have to be permitted to be able to catch those types of fish at all. That's why, that's what this is about.
And I don't see the fish like it, they already did. Maybe I'm even thinking we can keep it in the boat. But
you didn't know any better? You didn't know otherwise?
No, we never did it before. That is my first day. I can run in the boat, but I don't know nothing this day about the size and the fish.
Okay. You know now? Do you understand now?
Yeah. I understand now.
Okay. We won't have this problem again?
I understand. Okay.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Soto. Chief O'Reilly, the matrix guidelines in this particular case. Mr. Soto, please stay up here in case there's another question. Thank you.
So the commission is very aware there's no current licenses or permits for Mr. Soto, and the guidelines indicate possession of untagged striped bass. It's a resource impact. First violation is a 2-year probation is the guideline. So for Mr. Soto, the commission's guidelines for sanctions specify that one conviction of possession of untagged striped bass within a 2-year period should result in a 2-year probation. In accordance with Section 282.232 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to place Mr. Soto on probation for a period of 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, September 26, 2017, through September 25, 2019. Any failure on Mr. Soto's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the 2-year probation would result in Mr. Soto appearing before the commission for a hearing on license revocation.
Well, you've heard the facts. Do you see what the matrix guidelines suggest? And what is the will of the commission? Mr. Tankard?
I move to approve staff recommendation in this case.
Second.
I was going to second. I do have a question, Council.
All right, let me get it on the record. It's a motion by Mr. Tankard and a second by Mr. Miner for 2 years of probation in this case for Mr. Soto. Mr. Neal?
This was just kind of a follow-up with the last case. Now, in this case, we have 3 convictions. So in this case, if we so chose, we could revoke all his licenses and privileges for up to 5 years.
You have one occurrence that constituted 3
separate offenses.
I'm a bit uncomfortable with that particular interpretation.
I'm going to vote for the staff recommendation, but right. I've got 3 convictions now.
Right, and I'm trying to give you my best interpretation here, given that it was... There's basically 2 ways to look at it. One action that happened to violate 3 different regulations. So, was it one action, or was it 3 violations? Again, the safer reading is it was just one, because he only did one thing. The stretch reading is, well, that one thing violated 3 different 3 different regulations. I think it's safer to say that was just one rather than 3. Perhaps Mr. Zedrin would like to weigh in, but in my experience, you usually go by, like, the action.
Okay. Can I interject?
Yes.
So we need to err on the side of making sure the General Assembly doesn't make another run at our license revocation decisions. If we reach a stance here where one thing that happened, a couple things happened on the same day, it's mostly the same event, but there's multiple offenses within that event, I would give you a pretty good assurance that we're going to see another bill here that's going to impact the Commission's revocation decision. Mr. Zedrin.
I agree with Council here. I think that although this has three separate violations, it only occurred, this is one occurrence. And I think the intent behind the law was, is to give the waterman a chance. So he comes here, and regardless of how many convictions he has, we tell him, here's the deal, and if you come back, we're going to revoke you. So I think that's the intent of the legislature. So I would concur with the fact that it's one occurrence, not how many charges you're convicted of.
And I'm reminded that Mr. Soto here is waiting for us to actually vote and make a decision. He's standing very patiently. Mr. Soto, the board is about to vote on whether or not to put you on probation for 2 years. Do you know what probation is? Probation is like a warning, but you can't do anything wrong for 2 years, or you have to come back here. Can you make sure you do nothing wrong for 2 years? Thank you, sir. We have a motion and a second on the table here. Call the question. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. So the motion passes. You're on probation for 2 years. Make sure everything is straight by the book. If you have any questions, you can call us here at the agency. You can call the Marine Police. If you have questions, we're happy to answer them for you. Okay, Mr. Soto? I want to see you succeed, okay? And I don't want to see you back here like this, okay? If you go with the officer, he'll give you a letter. It'll tell you how you can appeal this decision to court if that's what you would like to do. Thank you, Mr. Soto.
Thank you. So I just wanted to mention that prior to this information reaching you, law enforcement and fisheries had the same type of discussion as to how to look at this case. So,
Mr. William Sawyer. Let me swear you in, please, sir. Raise your right hand if you would. Do you hereby swear the testimony you'll give here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you very much. State your name into the microphone for the record.
William Kyle Sawyer.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Sawyer, here. Chief O'Reilly?
So new convictions, uncold crabs, 25 and 1 bushel, cited under 282708 of the Code of Virginia. The date of offense was April the 8th. The court conviction was June 14th, 2017, both in 2017. Marine Police Officer Reedy. There was also another violation, 34 small crabs and 1 bushel, same section, but 282708A of the Code of Virginia, and that occurred in September 19th, 2015. The court conviction was December 9th, 2015.
Officer. Officer Reedy.
Marshal Reedy. Thank you. All right, the first offense occurred Friday, September 18th, 2015, at approximately 1430 hours in Accomack County. I was at the Folly Creek boat ramp when I inspected a commercial crabber known to me as Kyle Sawyer on my right. Mr. Sawyer had returned from crab potting along with his helper. I called one U.S. standard bushel basket of Sawyer's crabs and found 34 undersized male hard blue crabs measuring less than 5 inches from tip to tip of the longest spikes. Code section 28.2708 states it is unlawful for any person to catch, take, or have in his possession more than 10 hard crabs per United States bushel or 35 hard crabs per barrel, which measure less than 5 inches across the shell from tip to tip of their longest spikes, or to destroy them in any manner. On October 14, 2015, William Kyle Sawyer was found guilty of possession of uncalled crabs in the Accomack County District Court. He received a $100 fine and costs. The second offense occurred Saturday, April 8, 2017, at approximately 1450 hours in Accomack County. I was at the Watchbreak Town dock where I inspected a commercial crabber known to me as Kyle Sawyer. Mr. Sawyer returned from crab potting along with his helper. I called one U.S. standard bushel of crabs and found 25 undersized male hard blue crabs measuring less than 5 inches from tip to tip of their longest spikes. Code section 282708 states it is unlawful for any person to catch, take, or have in his possession more than 10 hard crabs per United States bushel or 35 hard crabs per barrel, which measure less than 5 inches across the shell from tip to tip of their longest spikes, or to destroy them in any manner. On June 4, 2017, William K. Sawyer was found guilty of possession of uncalled crabs
in the Accomack County District Court. He received a $50 fine and costs.
Any questions from the commission? Thank you, Officer Rudy. Mr. Sawyer, this is your chance. What happened here both of these times?
I was guilty of having uncooked crabs. There were short crabs in my baskets aboard my boat. I-shaped bait the pots. I have a color. That's their sole job. I have a zero tolerance policy on my boat. And he was never seen again, or he's seen again, but, you know.
Not on your boat. thank you for clarifying that. You didn't do away with him, did you?
I sent him home, so. What do you say? I mean, I can control mostly what goes on that boat, but operating the way we do, it's hard to keep an eye on every single thing. It truly is.
Questions from the commission? Mr. France.
Yes. Did you have the same color on both occasions?
No.
Sorry, just as a guest, you need to be a little bit more, what's the right word, careful in who you choose as your mate.
Help is very hard to find.
It's true. Mr. Zedron.
When you catch these crabs and then you take them to a buyer, and I'm talking about it down the street, but to a merchant. And when they see these small crabs, do they buy?
They, most of the time, they call to them. And if there is small crabs in your basket, they will call you. They will take them off your ticket. They'll discard of them. They won't make it, you know, up north to the market. You just don't get paid for them. And therefore, I mean, I have no use for them. And it was unintentional, and we can just do the best we can do is all I know to say.
Thank you.
Got to find a better way, I think.
I don't know any.
Other questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard?
Well, Mr. Sawyer, are you telling these folks what to do, or are you just hoping for it?
I tell them what to do to the T.
And you washing over them a little bit or not at all?
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Chief, what do the matrix guidelines suggest in this particular case?
So you have the past permits, last couple of years, yep. Previous convictions, 2013, mostly 2011. The matrix guidelines indicate possession of more than 20 undersized crabs per bushel is a resource impact, and the recommended sanction is two or more violations in 2 years, with listed offense being the most serious. So there's the guideline right there. And for William K. Sawyer, the commission's matrix of guidelines for sanctions specify the two convictions of possession of more than 20 undersized crabs per bushel within a two-year period should result in at least a two-year probation. In accordance with Section 282.232 of the Code of Virginia, the matrix guidelines suggest to the commission to place Mr. Sawyer on probation for 2 years from the date of this commission meeting, September 26, 2017, through September 25, 2019. Any failure on Mr. Sawyer's part to obey any of the laws or regulations relating to the marine resources of the Commonwealth during the two-year probation would result in Mr. Sawyer appearing before the commission for a hearing on a license revocation.
Well, Mr. Sir, I'd like to hear what you think about the idea of 2 years of probation. Can you do that?
What do I think about the idea of 2 years of probation?
Yep.
I don't like it, but what do you do? I mean, I hate to say anything because I'm afraid you're going to try to give me 5 years. So I'd rather not comment.
I think that it would go a long way for the commission here if you can think of something off the top of your head that you could do here that would better ensure that this doesn't happen again.
I'll go by myself and I'll call my own crabs. That is the only other option I can see. You know, It helped, like I previously stated, health is very hard to find. I come from a small town. It's not like where we're at now. It's not with so many people to choose from. All the good people have got jobs. There's plenty of people that are capable but do not want jobs due to how we're living now. And it's just very difficult. All we can do is the best we can. And for the volume of seafood that we produce and put out, we can only strive to do better, you know. I don't know what else to say. Okay. Do the best we can, you know.
Okay. Well, the commission operates on motion. What's the will of the commission?
I move to accept staff recommendation.
It's a motion by Mr. Neal for 2 years of probation in this case. Is there a second?
So moved.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Is there a discussion on the motion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? The chair votes aye as well. 2 years of probation. Mr. Sawyer here. Commission's decision here. Dot the I's, cross the T's. I think you're a guy, I don't expect to see you back here. I think it's going to be a bit more work for you here, but the more crabs that are in the water here when they're pre-spawn, the more chance we have for making more crabs that are legal size. So it's for everyone's benefit. So
I understand.
Okay. If you go with the chief here, he'll take you downstairs, give you a letter here that spells out your appeal rights. If you choose to appeal the decisions commission to court, you have that right.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Good luck to you, Mr. Sawyer.
Thank you.
Agenda item number 11 is a request for an emergency measure amendment pertaining to the commercial cobia fishery.
Mr. France, excuse
me. Mr. France.
Yeah, I have a question. I'd like to maybe from counsel or Mr. O'Reilly or you. And we'll use an example in the Mr. Soto case where he's an agent. Now, if I were to hire an agent and he was to go out here and get in trouble,
right?
Am I as the card holder partly responsible for his actions?
The way the blue crab regulation reads, yes, that you could be have an appearance before the commission if your agent committed more than one or two infractions. That's a remnant from 2008, and the reason it's still there, it's a may, it's not a shall. And back then, there was quite a bit of discussion. This came from the Crab Management Advisory Committee, and they both were saying that the agent should also then have a penalty of not being able to agent. So, but the initial part is for the licensee, the responsibility of the licensee to make sure the agent is doing, you know, the correct thing in the fishery. So, but it is a may, and it would have to be a decision, you know, by the commission to bring that forward.
Thank you. I just wanted some clarification. I wasn't sure.
You good, Mr. Fress?
Yes, sir.
All right.